You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. We are joined now by a Grey Cup champion in his first year as the secondary coach for the Edmonton Elks. Aaron Grimes joins us. Mr. Grimes, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Gregor. Thanks for having me. And just trying to figure out if I got a chance at winning that $70
million. Well, yeah, you better get your tickets, buddy. Why not? Why not? You could have a little bit of fun with that. Take the boys on a. You definitely could have a celebration if you win that one. No, or probably multiple ones, I would think. So that would be good.
No doubt.
What type of celebration happens in the secondary group when a guy gets a pick six?
Oh, well, you know that we had a nice little interception pot going, so that was the first thing that came to mind. Was I couldn't wait to get that out of my pocket. I've been holding on to that for far too long, let's just say that. And then it just felt good. It just felt good to kind of get that monkey off the back. And, you know, they always say turnovers come in bunches, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Aaron, first year for you as a coach at the CFL level, and you know I'm sure we hearken back to when Aaron Grimes came in as a rookie player, and you're watching all the things. You're like, oh my God, the game's a lot different. Then you get a few years in, and you're like, okay, the game's pretty calm. Is there a similarity at all to being a rookie head coach? And as much as you're prepared, once the games get on, there's still lots that maybe you're not used to.
No doubt. It's just a whole different perspective on game day. Being on the sideline, having a headset on, and trying to put people in the right position to make plays versus just making sure you were in the right spot to make your play. And so I would even say, you know, from week one to right now, I feel like I'm already a better coach, and I still got so far to go, you know, but it's all trending in the right direction, and it's the next best thing for sure.
Where do you feel you've improved as a coach through the first 9 weeks?
I think being able to communicate to the players effectively, being able to earn their trust, you know, and see things how they see the game versus how I see the game, because I'm not the one on the field playing it, right? So how do they see it, and how can I help them out? And then also being able to give some feedback to JC, you know, just in terms of, okay, this is where I think they're trying to hit us. Here's what I think would be good for us. Here's how we can defend it. You know, just being able to give feedback like that and make myself useful on the sideline have been things I've been learning every week.
It's interesting how you say make yourself useful, because you played the position, you understand it, but I'm sure as a coach you realize, like, yeah, like even what I see on the sidelines is still going to look different from what the halfback or the safety or the corner sees from a different angle on the field.
Absolutely. You know, and I always tell the guys, it's easy for me to say when I'm watching it on the iPad or I'm watching it on film, or, but at the end of the day, you know, you two are playing together. You know, what is your communication? How do you guys see it? You know, because if I can understand that, now you guys can understand where I would like you to be to make the play, and I can help get you there because I see how you see it as well. So it's definitely interesting, but I love it. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that is very accepted, though.
You look at your group of players, and every secondary guy is different. Like, you know, you can look at the guys you played with, and, you know, somebody was like you who was a great cover guy, and then there's other guys who are very physical, and everybody has a different strength. And when you played, like, you respected it all, but you're like, I just got to focus on what I do. When you have guys who play the game different, and it's both successful, what's the hardest thing to learn in how you communicate with maybe a more physical DB to more of just like a pure cover DB?
I think that's an art and something that I'm learning and trying to learn. But I remember when I went to Philadelphia, my coach, Corey Unlin, just something as simple as teaching different corners how to press, because Eric Rowe was much taller than me. So he had him start in a different stance.
Okay.
And then I my legs were shorter, so he had me start a little bit different stance with this foot back instead of this foot forward. And just being able to teach everybody to their strengths. And so I bring that full circle to say, like you're saying, you know, DBs who a DB who is more physical, you know, versus a DB who likes to play the finesse game. And just being able to understand, okay, this is what I'm going to get out of this player. So how can I use that to his advantage, which is our advantage, you know, and earning their trust to get them to be like, okay, maybe you are more of a finesse player and you want to go find the football, but on this play, the team needs you to go sacrifice your body and put your pads on somebody. And then you'll get to the finesse play where you get to make the play you want to make. But it all works together, you know?
Okay. Aaron Grimes joins us, DB coach for the Edmonton Elks. And Aaron, you know, we had Chris Morrison, who obviously understands the game. We were talking lots of football and you know, as the president, understanding lots of things. And he talked about how, like, as the defense works together, right? The defensive line, they've all said it, they got to get more pressure for sure. Secondary early on was maybe playing a little bit off the ball more so. It's a young group. The last few weeks, the defense has definitely improved. You know, the points against are down, the yards against are down. They seem to be becoming a little bit more aggressive. How much of that is natural in the players? You played the game. Like, sometimes you just, you know, you don't be as aggressive because you don't want to get beat, right? And it's more so just because maybe you don't have experience. Are you trying to get them to be more aggressive? Or are they just naturally being more aggressive? Has there been a switch there in philosophy in the secondary?
I think there's a little bit of both. You know, I think that, like you said, as a player, you know, when you first go out there, new staff, a lot of new players on the roster, even some who came back first time playing together, you know, people just don't want to mess up. And that goes for players and coaches, you know. And then now the more, you know, you play with somebody next to you, the more you understand, okay, I'm a little bit more aggressive than him, so I'm always going to pull my trigger and let him play off me. Okay. You know, or vice versa. And then from a coach's standpoint, understanding, okay, this is the vision, but, you know, our strengths as a team are this. Maybe it is playing more man. Maybe it's playing more zone. Maybe it's sending pressure on this situation. And then just collectively understanding, like, okay, this is what the coaches are trying to get done in this situation. And then communicating them to that, right? I think JC does a good job of that. Here's what I'm thinking in this situation, and this is why I'm calling it. So now the players can say, okay, cool. If that's what he's trying to get done, now I understand why it's being called. So let's go give it everything we got. If it doesn't work, then we get back to the drawing board and we try to figure it out. But it's just, I think to me, it's been an understanding of just being together. You know, the more reps we get together, the better we get together. And I do think it's starting to show, and I hope that it continues to go that way.
From a coaching perspective, in-game adjustments, right? Like, it's a little bit of a chess match at times. You want to see, okay, what are they calling? You know, there's a little bit of anticipation. We think they're going to call this here, or no, we're going to try with this. How much of that has been a learning curve for both you and JC? Kind of, I know you guys are really good friends and stuff, but he's the DC. You obviously must communicate. And how do you feel you've improved as a staff on that in-game adjustment, really almost from series to series at times?
I think we've improved a lot, and JC obviously brings more experience to that than I did before this year. You know, because even when I came back last year and was just helping out as an assistant, I didn't have as much in-game input, right? And so JC's pulled me aside sometimes, and I'll ask him. Like, I'm a huge question asker because I want to know why, because I want us to be successful very, very badly. And so I'll ask him, like, when you first started, you know, what were ways that you helped out on the sideline? And I'll ask other coaches from other teams that have been here before. I've got no problem asking questions to try to find the answer. And so he'll tell me, like, okay, when I was watching the iPad, I would look at, okay, here's the formations we knew they were going to do. And then here's some that they've hit us with. Okay, they've gone to the boundary a lot of times. Okay. So he's like, AG, if you can recognize that, like, make the corrections with your players, but then also watch the iPad in terms of what is the offense trying to do to us. Is it what we expected them to do, or are they hitting us with some wrinkles? Because every offense is going to do that. And so just being able to learn that and try to pick up on that and then get on the headset and feel comfortable enough to talk to him about it has been a huge difference.
Interesting. So you'll get on, because he's obviously calling it from upstairs. You're on the sidelines, right? And obviously you see different things. And part of that communication, Aaron, is being willing to voice your opinion at the right time. Is that fair?
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. Like, just feeling comfortable and confident to say, hey, this is what I see. This is what I think will work. And at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, he's the defensive coordinator. He can veto it as well. And that's just part of it, right? It's part of the understanding. But just, you know, giving him that feedback and him trusting me more as well. Like you said, we played together for a long time, but we never worked together before,
right?
Like this. So not only am I trying to earn the player's trust, you know, but I got to earn one of my best friend's trust, but as a boss. Right. And so, it's been a learning curve, man, but it's been awesome for sure.
What about with Demetrius Maxey, the D line coach? How does the D line and the secondary coach communication happen during a game?
We don't communicate too much in game. A lot of us are communicating directly with JC or over the headsets.
Okay.
But certainly throughout the week, you know, the communication of, and I thought this as a player all the time, like going back to, you know, Odell Willis and Mondo and those guys, like my biggest thing to them was always, hey, help me help you. You know, I'm going to cover my butt off and try to get him off his first read. And you try to get there as quickly as you can, because the faster you get there, the less I got to cover. And the faster you get there, the more opportunity I get for a bad ball being thrown my way. So it certainly goes hand in hand.
Aaron Grimes joins us. Aaron, let's look ahead. What's your expectation from Toronto's offense? You know, Nick Arbuckle at quarterback, everybody has tendencies. Are there certain areas on the field and certain plays that you're like, okay, we're pretty, they like to go, you know, to the, you know, strong side of the field more often in this formation, and here they'll go, like, does it get that in depth? And are you, cause I know the offense sometimes like to script plays. Does the defense script kind of what you think they're going to script for the first 10 plays? Do you ever do that?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say for the first 10 plays, and not that I've seen from there, but certainly like, okay, here's what they like to do, you know, coming out, or here's what they like to do on first down in a certain field zone, right? Some coordinators will change up their first down play calls based on what field zone they're in terms of coming out, right, in back by their own end zone or midfield or in the red zone. They'll call the game differently. So just going in with the understanding, like, okay, here's what we expect in this part of the field. And then, like you said, once the third or second and third quarter roll around, it's like, okay, have they stayed true to it or have they switched it up? You know, now it's time for those in-game adjustments.
What about you learning like deception and disguising what you want to run? How much of that is coaching, and then how much of that is the veterans having the, or even not veterans, just the players knowing how to disguise a certain, okay, they think we're going to be in zone, but now we're going to switch to man or vice versa. How much of that goes on in the game, and how much of that is from you, the play, you know, in the secondary, or how much is that from JC, or is it from the players themselves on the field?
JC tries to make sure, you know, he does a really good job of giving tasks to other people, so he's not doing too much. So he's kind of put that on myself and Coach Nesbitt.
Okay.
And it starts with coaching. It starts with, okay, we want to show this, but end up here when the ball is snapped, whether it's man to zone or zone to man, or middle of the field closed to middle of the field open, or showing the blitz, but then backing out. And then as these guys, I'm noticing it while I'm watching film of our team, they're getting to a point now where you don't even have to signal in or call in the disguise. They just get it now. They understand. Okay. And that's part of the veteranship. And even a guy like Royce Metier, whose disguise coverages forever, you know, since he's been in Calgary, then to mm-hmm. Toronto, it's now learning how we want to disguise things in Edmonton, right? And then now him taking ownership of, hey, okay, guys, let's show this on this one. And that's kind of where you want to get as a coach. So now you can focus on the scheme and the calls and what the offense is trying to do, and you let the guys take care of the disguise. That's what's cool about veteran players.
Yeah, well, yeah, the more they know, and you're getting Metchie back. Like, how much, like, we always hear the middle linebacker is a huge part of your defense. How much is your safety part of your defense and what you can call at certain times in the game?
It's unreal. I mean, the safety makes the strength call before the ball, you know, as soon as the ball is put down. You know, he's responsible for a lot of the coverage checks based on formation. And he, you know, I mean, there's six DBs on the field minimum, you know, at any given time. So his ability to communicate to the strong side and the weak side, and it's huge. I call him the quarterback of our secondary.
Aaron, always great stuff, man. I love talking to you. I always learn a lot. Continued success, and best of luck tomorrow night.
I appreciate that. Let's do it again.